What can I say? I'm always amazed at the end of recording, and actually I'm still a little Jesus undone. He certainly delivered the goods on this one. Join me on this transformative journey as we encounter Jesus's love. Regardless of obstacles we may encounter, I share a testament of hope and faith and a gentle reminder that no matter the circumstance, we are never alone. Feeling Jesus on the good days and the I really need you days. Oh, let's embark on this day-changing experience together. It's just so much better if we do it together. You can borrow my helmet. I hope you don't mind a little pink sparkle. A helmet? Yep. I also brought a box of Kleenex to share. I'll tell you about it on the inside. Hello from the Pacific Northwest. This is Kristen from KristenWombach.com, and you're listening to Interviewing Jesus Podcast. Answer me this. How does a Baptist farm girl from Oregon stumble upon the mystical nature of Christ, the love of God? If you're like me, Jesus has redefined what you used to say yes to. Join me and my guests on a mystical journey. But before we talk about the spiritual woo-woo, you need to know I am totally sold out to Jesus. It's amazing what the love of God reveals. Good afternoon. How are you doing today? I very much appreciate you spending this time with me today. I'm going to lead you through a very tender story, one that is full of feeling. It's the touchable kind. Actually, Jesus reminded me of this story encounter that happened in 2014. Wow, that reaches back across 10 years of history. Wow. What were the seasons of your life in 2014? I don't know if you're listening today. If you had a rockin' high five day, or maybe you woke up this morning and it felt like the universe kissed you, or maybe you had a moment to stretch your legs and take a walk and smell the roses. If you live here in Oregon, the verbena is in bloom. Oh, that wonderful, pungent, sweet smell. Maybe you received a phone call from a very dear friend you went to high school with, and you spent over an hour reminiscing and laughing at yourselves and appreciating the friendship that you have. Join me, would you, saying their names out loud. Father, I thank you for my friends, for Janice, for Margaret, for Carrie, for Suzanne. Those friendships, Lord, that walk through our youth, we bless them. Maybe today your ducks stayed in a row and you crossed off all your T's, dotted your I's, every checklist. And your employer might have said, well done, good job. Or you're an entrepreneur and you had a wonderful handful of sales today. Father, I thank you for Montucket, New York, for Grantsville, Maryland, for Victorville, California, Alton, Illinois, and Wake Forest, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Family, let's all go to Wake Forest, North Carolina. The name itself invokes, the early morning sun bursting through the thickets to lap up the day's dew. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I don't know if you're listening today because it's one of those I really need to hear from Jesus days. I can hear you. Maybe. It's a really I need to hear from Jesus season. Amen? We are in the right place at the right time because the Lord has invited us here today. We are invited. It was His idea. Breathe in and breathe out. Let me remind you of a story Jesus had Mark share with us. And we are all familiar with her. The woman with the issue of blood. What I would like for us to pay special attention to is how Jesus felt, how it was expressed that he felt in relationship with her. Mark 5 says, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. For she could feel her whole body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him. It passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and he spoke to the crowd, saying, "Who touched my clothes?" Who touched his clothes? For he felt the power that always surged around him. And that day it passed through him. That is the story I'm going to tell to you today. I felt the power that surged around him. It passed through him to me. What was going on in my life in 2014? Okay, I had to go look. I am so thankful for my journal entries. And who'd have thunk it? I never would have thought that in a future day I'd be sharing it with you. Remember? Right place. Right time. Jesus has prompted us. Jesus to make our paths cross in a touchable way. We, my dear friend, are no different than the woman with the issue of blood. I will highlight a wonderful episode. Recycle into a productive mindset. Tell yourself we're going this way. It's filled with focus, encouragement, and direction. And of course, you know me, I tagged it for you in the show notes. I just want to give you the resources that God has given to me to share with you. It's a wonderful episode. Now in our story, I have always been an entrepreneur of sorts. Mm-hmm. I even sold vacuums from door to door years and years ago, for which I was very successful. I guess the girl next door look has its advantages. So my journal notes brought tender reminder to the time of this story. And I'm just thinking of it. Let me put it in perspective. In 2010, we had started a ministry school, and that ministry school, it birthed a church, and the church had spread its wings from a house church, and we leased an office building downtown. During those pioneering years, I didn't receive a pastor's salary. And that, my friend, is another topic for another day. My entrepreneurial spirit was filled with insight, and I opened a corner flower shop by the seat of my pants. It was so exciting. It was so much fun. It was so creative. Mom and Son's Flowers began. And it was just down the block from the church, so I could fluctuate the hours for both. You'd love it. I left a couple of photographs for you in the show notes. You just love it. It's easy to romanticize. It was a little My Fair Lady and an urban corner flower shop right next to the local Starbucks. I had prayed for more people in this season in this little outdoor location than you could imagine. It was wonderful. So let's fast forward about 9 months later, okay? I'm trying to set up what was going on and what Jesus is going to share with both you and I. So this 9 months later, and my heart and my soul are laying on my financial sleeve. You get it? My dear friend, we are no different than the woman with the issue of blood. I was closing down this adventure, giving my product and supplies away. My heart was hurting, and a mindset was whirling around all the wrong words. Dear friend, is your heart hurting or your mindset is whirling around with all the wrong words? Keep listening. Jesus is going to touch you today. Keep listening. Jesus is going to touch you today. Kristen, what else was going on in the thick of life where Jesus needed to reach out and touch me in a superior supernatural way? Okay, this is an OMG note. I met one of my personal angels. Her name is Kelsey, which means brave, right place, right time. She is heaven's partnership for all things worship and creativity with me. As said in last week's Angel Stories in the episode, Kelsey is included, and she signed up on the Morning Hug Brigade. If you haven't listened to last week, go listen so you understand who Kelsey is. She's one of my hugging angels. And my last little life application to build up feeling Jesus on the good days and the I really need a touch from him days. And why do I share these life stories? We, my dear friend, are no different than the woman with the issue of blood. She had struggled, been separated from her family because of her issue. Medical science had no help for her, only Jesus. And you tell me, if she would have listened to this episode, you are right. She would have. Now. Now. That little church I was talking about. It still meets in my home on Sundays and in the homes of its family members during the week. Imagine with me a little prophetic church teaching people how to encounter Jesus, how to encounter the love of God. And if you've been listening to my podcast for any length of time, or you picked up a copy of the unfinished book, you know the details, decisions and trials that one walks, all because love decided to open the eyes of heaven. My coined line, Jesus has redefined what we used to say yes to, and boy did he. This is right where we are at in my story. 2014. We can see in the spirit the church God had shown us and taught us and affirmed us. Heaven is an open door that we walked through, which transitioned every form of church structure we had. Do you think that we had a few man-made rules and doctrines that we needed to repent for and make changes? Very difficult board meetings, you could say. Imagine Joshua and Caleb sent to spy out the promised land, and when they returned, fear was screaming at the top of her lungs. Don't cross the river. There are giants in the land. Change. It was a season of divine change. Change. It was a season of divine challenge. We, my dear friend, are no different than the woman with the issue of blood. For he felt the power that always surged around him, and that day it passed through him to me. My journals, which I call the records of heaven, breathe in, breathe out. This is so good. God is so good. I just wanted to share with you our history together. Much like, we'd stepped out of the church pew and presented ourselves at the altar during ministry time. I may be praying for you, you may be praying for me. And yes, dear friend, we have seen a few tears together. We're right there. That morning, sitting on my prayer pillow in the living room, the house is still quiet. Just Jesus and I, and a steaming cup of coffee in hand. Yum. It was Sunday, and what I was supposed to share was not settled in my heart yet. You know, I was still chewing on it, asking for him to cross the T's and dot the I's, every jot and every tittle. But I was positioned that morning to speak about the plumb line, our foundation as a church. This is what I had before me from Zechariah 4. Heavenly messenger, Zerubbabel, very own hands, had laid the foundation of this new temple, and his hands will complete it. When he does, it will be clear to you that the eternal commander of heavenly armies has sent me to you. Now, all of you who have frowned on the day when only slight progress was made to reconstruct the temple will celebrate when they see the stone that centers the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, who will survey Jerusalem, finally answering his earlier question. The seven lamps on the top of the lampstand are the eyes of the Eternal One, diligently searching the earth. I felt like I had that plumb line in my hand, and he was teaching me, instructing me. Church. I quieted my spirit, and I stepped through the torn veil of his flesh. Love opened the door, and we were in the Spirit. The Lord, Jesus, he grabbed my hand, and we quickly leapt onto a crotch rocket type motorcycle. My imagination said, "Ah, it's hot pink." Yep, it was fast, and there we are zooming. He just grabbed me up. We zoomed out of a lower ground garage, and I caught in the corner of my eye the portion of the church mountain. So I'm encountering church government in the spirit. I could just see it in the corner of my eye, and it looked like it was the remains of a forest fire. Large old growth was standing charred. And I didn't see any evidence of underbrush regrowing. That's what I saw just in the corner of my eye. But that wasn't my focus at this time. So Jesus and I zoomed, and my imagination is in full swing in this heavenly place. Nope, I'm not thinking about the church or what I'm going to say on Sunday morning or what he had shown me. I'm not even thinking about the plumb line. We were riding along a dike next to a river that I had walked with him many times before. It was the dike, you know, the built up part of a river. And it's between heaven and earth, and it separates to the mountain of the Lord, the city of God, or Mount Zion. You can cross the heavenly bridge onto the mountain of the Lord. That's one of the accesses that he has shown me into himself. I was thoroughly enjoying our motorcycle adventure. The wind on my face, the thrill of the speed, and I was taking into my heart, oh, I had my arms around Jesus. Oh, easy to imagine. I've ridden with my husband Don on the Harley many, many times. And to feel the wind on your face and the speed and the power of the engine under you and your arms are wrapped around your beloved. We were whisking down the road. I was familiar with this road when his presence flooded over me. It just flooded over me from heaven in heaven, now in my body, still sitting in my living room, sitting on the floor pillow. You could just feel his presence in the spirit and in my body. Tears began to flow. And Jesus asked me, "Why are you crying?" And now that I think about it, how did he know I was crying? He could feel the wetness of my tears on the back of his white robe. Huh? Kristen, why are you crying? I answered, "Life. Been a tough week. Finance meetings, words spoken towards me, closing the flower shop. Dawn's dream about the flower shop. Ugh." I was so immersed in his loving presence, I just cried. And I let my tears of life fall freely. My heart was open. I just was releasing life. And those tears, they soaked the back of my Savior's robe. I was still riding with him on that lickety-split motorcycle, holding on to him, just having a good weep moment. I began to collect myself. You could feel the wind catching the wet on my cheeks. You could feel it bringing a coolness and a reality to my senses. We were zooming down the road next to the river of life. I loosened my grip around his waist and I straightened up. And then I noticed my salty flood of tears wet all over his garment. I'm sure there was makeup debris too. Oh my. His garment, it was bright, natural white. Iridescent, full of light. Like glimmer of light full of fire. Yet the fabric was dense, comforting. Like heavenly skin, a thickness. It wasn't satiny, no, it was, don't know how quite yet to explain it. So my gaze caught at the wet of my tears soaking into his garment, creating a translucent view through the garment as a window to his skin. And then I saw them. I saw through what my tears had stained. I could see him. I can see him today. The scars on his back. The scars that he bore for me. And words still can't capture the moment. My tears and my pain and my discomfort of life. And my cheek had laid on his back as we zoom next to eternity. Tears seeped into his garment and it opened a visual door that allowed me to personally see his skin and scars bore for me. These are defining moments for us. Since Christ suffered our judgment in his innocence, thus leaving us a perfect example. In this way, our attitude in bearing insults we do not deserve reveals the grace of God to the ones mistreating us. He never said or did anything wrong. No, he didn't. Even when they heaped abuse upon him, he never retaliated. He suffered much, but he never threatened. Instead, he fully yielded himself to the righteous judgment of God, which is God declaring the unjust righteous because of what Christ has done. In his person, he bore our sins in his body upon the tree and thus brought closure to every distorted pattern of sin's influence upon us. We were made alive unto righteousness. We were made alive unto righteousness. We were healed by the blows he took in his body. We were healed by the stripes on his back. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. And we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed, all of us. Like sheep have gone astray, we have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us. Today, whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? You and I. He has revealed his sacrificial offering through the tears of our intercession, through the tears of our openness, through the transparency of relationship. We have seen, we have touched, we have beheld his stripes, his scars, our wholeness, our healing. We have witnessed his touch change. It is a season of divine change. Change, it is a season of divine challenge. We, my dear friend, are no different than the woman with the issue of blood. Her testament is an open scroll. Her testament is an open scroll. My testament is an open scroll and an open door. For he felt the power that always surged around him. And this day, it passed through him to you and I. A powerful story. Yep, need some Kleenex. I just felt prompted. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows, like sea billows, roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. God bless you. I'll talk to you again next week. Unless you reach out to me first with your testimony. Amen. Bye now.